I think we're ready. I'd like to call the Town of Mottville Town Council regular meeting of July 13th, 2026 to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our military.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Agnes, how are you tonight? Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Present.
Councilor Jeffers?
Present.
Councilor May?
Present.
Councilor Nova?
Here.
Councilor Sebelius?
Here.
Councilor Sullivan?
Here.
All right. Tonight, we have a presentation from our Director of Land Use and Development, Dennis Devere, regarding the flood hazard updates for the flood insurance rate map and the flood insurance study report.
Good evening. Dennis Devere. I will be brief this evening. We received a letter, or the mayor's office received a letter June 16th from FEMA.
Dennis, can you talk right into it?
The mayor's office on June 16th received a letter from FEMA notifying us of the updates.
Is it on?
Can you hear me now?
It's not on.
No, I don't think you're speaking.
Try it now.
On June 16th, the mayor's office, is it working now?
Sounds like it.
Good enough. Just call. All right. I'll start over again. June 16th, the mayor's office received a letter from FEMA regarding draft updates to the FERM maps. This was anticipated when we had arrived. There will be a public comment period, or we're in a public comment period now. We've been asked to circulate the maps to elected officials, board commissions, and staff. I have updated the website to provide those draft maps. On the screen above is the website. In order to get to it, you go to Land Use Development Department, and at the bottom of our department menu list, you'll see FEMA new draft mapping update. You select that, and we'll bring you to this webpage. From here, you can review the letter from FEMA. You can also review the draft panels from FEMA in PDF format. That link will bring you to FEMA's website. From there, you can navigate to download. It is a little bit cumbersome, but that is not due to our issues. However, I did provide a link on the bottom of that page to the Northwest Quad, Southeast, Northeast, Southwest, and Northeast, overlay the current quad maps and, the current flood maps and the proposed flood limits. And you can see above on the screen is an example of this is the southeast quad. The right hand, you can see obviously the Thames River. In that corridor is the Oxobotso Brook. You can see where the town hall is located. The blue is the current AE and A zones, which are otherwise known as the 100 year flood. That green line is the draft new flood line. They do somewhat correspond on the inland side, and that is where you'll see the biggest changes. They now correspond to the 2010 LIDAR mapping that the state has on record. So they actually will correspond to a topo topography line rather than the rather gross scale of the USGS quad map, which is what the current maps have. Along the James River, the lines have not changed, and I confirmed this with FEMA. If you zoom in a little bit closer, you can see that in some areas the 100-year flood or the AE line has either decreased or it has increased. For example, along Route 163, this portion is now out, or will be out. But then there are areas such as where the Oxobotso locks are located, they've mapped a portion of the Oxford Law statute within the floodline. And then this corridor here is now adjusted either one side or the other. In most instances, the floodways don't appear to have changed. This is a comparison of the panels. So on the left side is a current panel. This represents the Oxford Dam Road section. You might be able to tell, you can read aerial photography where exactly this is, but the Oxford Dam Road runs diagonal across the screen. You can see how the gross amoeba shape of the current maps are based upon the very gross mapping of USGS contour mapping, and now how more definitive it is in the draft maps. The brown is the 0.2% or AKA 500-year flood on the left side. You can see in this current instance, there are no 500-year flood areas depicted, and actually some of those 500 years are now 100 years. And in some instances, there is no 500-year anymore. And that has to do with the accuracy of the mapping or the calculations and the modeling that they use. So if you do take your time to flip through any of the maps, you'll see that some locations don't even have 500-year flood maps. So we are in a period of review at this point. Ironically, it only ends right on the 16th, but we didn't get this until 2 weeks after the due date or the continued memo. And based upon their schedule, it would appear that these will become active probably in about a year's time. Anywhere from, I'll say, 10 to 12 months. I just wanted to give everybody a quick update, and we know that's also out there in the public.
Just so there's no misunderstanding, this is a mandated notification to the town council.
Thank you.
All right. And just to let you know, this affects our community in a couple of ways. Your insurance, if you happen to be now in a flood zone, right, it could affect. You may have to get special insurance, or if you're out of it, maybe you don't have to have it now. Is that correct? So it is something that everyone, if you think you're near it, you want to check that and make sure, because it could affect your insurance on your home and your property.
Right.
It affects permitting, because with the new laws from back in October, or even before that, I think it was, 25, if you have a flood hazard area on your property, even if you are not proposing any work within it, when you propose work on that property, you have to pass it automatically, get referred to DEEP for under their comment. So it generally won't add any time, maybe another week or two, but usually it happens before the process.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Will the landowners be notified? The ones that are.
We're not notifying them.
No.
This
okay.
is the type of notification that
okay.
required.
Yep.
I think you'd have to notify thousands.
Okay.
If you look on your property street card, mm-hmm. it would indicate if you're in a flood zone.
Okay.
So it's on the owner's responsibility to check
know.
That.
Okay.
You would know it if he bought it, when he bought the property, because it's. But if you came into a region, you would have to check. That's why I recommend if you think you're near it, you want to check it, because it will affect your property value. And you want to make sure that, and if it's done erroneously, you got to. This is the time to get it fixed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis. Alterations to the agenda. I have one. It'll be 16I. We need to add. And it's going to be a resolution to refer the tax increment financing districts to the Planning and Zoning Commissions. I need a motion to add that.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? No. Did I get that right? 16I?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Roll call, please.
Counselor Baker?
Favor.
Counselor Jaskowitz?
Favor.
Counselor Novak?
Favor.
Counselor Sebelia?
Favor.
Counselor Sutter?
Favor.
Counselor May?
Favor. So that is 6-0 in favor. All right, any other additions to the an alteration of the agenda? All right, moving on. Consider an act of motion to approve. I'm just going to read these all off, and we can do them at the end unless there's something that needs to be changed. A, the public hearing meeting minutes of June 8, 2026 at 6 p.m. Item B, the public hearing minutes of June 8, 2026 at 6:30 p.m. Item C, the regular meeting minutes of June 8, 2026. And item D, the special meeting minutes of July 1st, 2026.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Item seven, executive session, to consider an act on a motion to enter an executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Farmers Market Committee, Housing Authority, and Permanent Building Committee. Discussions to include members of the Town Council and Mayor Leonard Bunnell Sr.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right.
Move.
Roll call vote.
Counselor Baker?
Favor.
Counselor Jaskowitz?
Favor.
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 Favor. Note the time is 7:10 in executive session. The time is 7:42 out of executive session, and no votes were taken. At this time, remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Questions. I know this came up several years ago. I think you were mayor when this came up. And well, I meant this came up because they the company had recently purchased it. Are they planning on any expansion of the apartments with this? I know they want to fix the...
I don't believe so at this time, but that, I'm not the appropriate person to answer that.
Okay.
Mr. St. Germain
from... Okay.
It's the property owner and he's here.
All right. We'll do that at discussion. Any other questions?
Good. No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
All right. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public last time relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. All right, thank you. Moving on, communication. I'll just read through these. A, copy of legal bills from Heron and Sage for the month of May 2026. Copy of the legal bills from Sussman and Shapiro for the month of May 2026. Copy of the email from Land Use Development Director estimating tax revenue impact TIF Tax Increment Financing District for Gateway North, end of Route 32. Did everyone receive that? There was also a video or a Zoom meeting recording. I had asked the finance director to send everybody. Did everybody receive that? All right, so we'll be discussing those tonight. All right. Moving on, reports from town attorney on matters referred. Mayor, do we have anything?
Yeah, the only thing I have going on with the town attorney right now of significance is the on the new fishing pier. We have the attorney drafting up a access agreement so that we could expand the upper parking lot to include for the parking for the boating ramp itself. So okay. We're waiting for some information on that. Hopefully we'll be able to get something going.
Good.
All right. Item 11, remarks from the mayor and our administrative department heads to include matters referred. Mayor?
Okay, I'd like to start off with the building official and introducing for the first time publicly is Mark Tibbetts. Mark, want to come up?
Last year's annual report and some light department information, the procedures, and some cases we've been working on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please provide a copy to the.
Yes,
absolutely. Nice to meet you. I haven't formally met you yet, but good to see you.
Hey, Don.
How are you?
Good. Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice. Sorry.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Mark.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Speak into the mic, please, sir.
I don't think it's working.
Oh, he doesn't need it?
Agnes is...
I can speak a little louder, too, if anybody wants to. I get your attention, so... All right. Again, my name is Mark Tibbetts. I'm the building official for the town of Montville. I started May 11th. Took over from Vern and Doug from the COG. And it's been a pleasure getting to know everybody in the town and all the residents that have come in to get permits so far. over last year, I did have to kind of compile some notes that I could gather from Vern and Doug, so if this isn't a complete report, please let me know anything you'd like me to try to find, and I'll get that as soon as I possibly can for you.
Perfect.
Over the last year, the building department experienced a busy year with an increase in permit volume and inspection volume, as well as increased light enforcement activities. We've been able to process and approve most permits in less than 10 business days, with more sophisticated projects taking longer, but well under the state allotted 30 days. As far as staffing goes, the town recently concluded its participation in the Regional Building Official Program with Doug Coulter as building official. I, Mark J. Tibbetts, was appointed head building official as of June 1st, 2026. Coming from the busy city of Norwich to Montville has been a pleasant and rewarding change, and I look forward to the many years to come working with the town of Montville. Our retired building official, Vern Bessie, continues as a contractor working on days that all my assistant is not here to provide expert and seamless coverage. This is the second full year of our assistant building official, Paul Curry Jr. Paul brings years of plumbing and mechanical experience to the team and is still progressing as an inspector. Paul has excellent customer service skills. We'll be spending more time in the office this year learning about plan review and more of the legal aspects of the job, along with continuing education to eventually earn his building official license. That's the goal. Our administrative assistant, Demetra, she's new. She excels in customer service and scheduling. We've had positive feedback from all residents and contractors stating she's professional, attentive, and willing to go above and beyond to make permitting easier for everyone. She's become a member of PTAC,
That's the Permit Technicians Association of Connecticut, which is out of Groton. And she will be pursuing training to gain better understanding of permitting procedures, managing the administrative and procedural aspects of construction permits, and serving as a primary liaison between applicants and the building official. We also have blight enforcement. Melissa Richard, she is a part-time blight enforcement officer. She has increased activity and provided a focused approach to filing liens on non-cooperative and non-compliant property owners. This has produced a number of enforcement actions and lien collections to help to offset the staff and legal fee costs of operating the blight enforcement program. This position requires professional interpersonal skills to attain cooperation, a good degree of social work, networking with other agencies, and organization skills to affect legal action. We are very proud of Melissa's performance. We don't necessarily have a housing department, but we do get a lot of housing complaints. Housing landlord and tenant complaints are increasing, and they have been increasing even just in the time that I've come here. But as the town lacks a housing code, the building code has very few options and legal triggers for us to apply to these situations. As the number of rental houses and units increase in town, the need for a housing code to help prevent properties from falling into poor condition may be of interest to the council. I was talking to Doug originally about possibly getting the council to okay instituting the 2012 International Property Maintenance Code to really help my department and Melissa and Paul to be able to identify issues that are not necessarily covered by the building code itself, but would really help keep landlords that either may be out of state, kind of out of touch, or just hard to kind of get a hold of. We have a little bit more teeth to help out the residents in the town and institute violations to send to them to basically tell them, hey, listen, this isn't fair for your tenants. Normally, I wouldn't be able to do anything about it, but with the property maintenance code, yes.
So that's that particular, the maintenance code is not in the Connecticut list of reference.
No.
So if we were to adopt that, how would we enforce it?
So it's enforced by the town versus building codes. It's enforced by the state.
So we would set up an ordinance.
We set up an ordinance that adopted the property maintenance code to the town. Norwich has done the same thing. It was really, really helpful with we had a housing enforcement officer who was able to handle a lot of this stuff. But having that adopted by the town would really improve our ability to enforce some of the issues that we see, that you can plainly see when going into something like that.
So right now that's under the Public Safety Commission. Is that correct, Mr. Baker?
Say that again.
The building official is under the Public Safety.
Yes, he is.
So I think I'm talking to the liaison. So mm-hmm. I think we ought to bring that up at Public Safety, and I think I'd like to have a referral coming up from Public Safety if they so choose to adopt that, and let's make an ordinance if that the. All right.
If I could just comment that I already have the building code maintenance proposal, and I have plans on sending it to town attorney for review, and then we'll route it to the places it's got to go. I was waiting for the building official to get into place and get situated before I progress to that.
Like minds think alike. Thank you.
Mayor, are they going to the town attorney going to do like a draft ordinance on that that
yes.
will accompany it?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'd like to get public safety's.
Yep. Well, it should go to public safety first, and then it'll come to us.
I'd like to have a formal referral from them saying that this will be and how it's going to benefit the citizens of Montville.
Well, we need to see it first to act on it before we give a referral. Obviously, we're going to.
Well, I know that, but
yeah. Okay. Not an issue.
No, just do it without looking at it. Thank you.
It's fine.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. Okay. So that was pretty much about property maintenance and housing complaints. One of the things that I did total permits issued has been up. We saw about almost a 10% increase from last year alone in permits, and we collected roughly $100,000 more in fees than the previous year. Now, that could be from a number of different things. As everybody knows, things are getting much more expensive to do, so obviously when things get more expensive, permit fees go up a little bit. One of the things that I did notice coming here, though, was that Mottville is probably the lowest permit fee per thousand in any of the surrounding towns by quite a bit. I know Basra, Norwich, Franklin, and Preston have all increased their permit fees to at least $20 per thousand. Now they tend to have a minimum, Norwich has a minimum of $75 for any permit. I would like to possibly see that kept at the $20 to help the residents who are just doing minor repairs and, you know, per thousand. It would actually lower our initial permit fee from $30 to $20, saving the people that are just doing small things to fix around the house, things that they kind of need to get done. It would actually save them money for permit fees. But increasing it to $20 per thousand, we've gained roughly $8 per thousand per permit. So on a $500,000 job, you can just imagine the amount of money we're talking about. You know, a good deal of money to the town. Increase in permit fees is always kind of a scary thing to talk about with residents and with anybody else. But what a lot of people don't understand is that increase in permit fees, building permit fees, actually all the money that we make in the building department, if I'm not mistaken, tends to go into the general fund and helps the town and takes, it gives the residents of the town actual tax relief. So anytime my fees go up in the building department, you'll see that there's less strain on the actual residents of the town. The only people that are paying for it are businesses who need to do upgrades to keep up with their with their competitors and people, you know, building new homes, usually investors and things like that. It usually doesn't affect the people of the town day to day.
Well, it's a mandatory, it's a safety and insurance mandated function. So things, because if somebody doesn't get a building permit and their house burns down or business, they're not insured. I think that's an excellent proposal. I'd like to see that go before TARP. Well, run it by the mayor, then run it to TARP, and then maybe the finance committee, and we'll get that. That's a good plan, and it kind of leads into your next thing about you don't have enough vehicles. So.
that's another thing that I wanted to bring up. Historically, I know building departments don't get the flashiest vehicles, and that's not what I'm asking for. I just want to be able to have the right amount of vehicles for the department itself. Right now, between really four people, we're sharing one vehicle. I had the old police cruiser that I was using, the transmission blew in May, and they could not get a transmission for it. So I've sit at the garage since then, and Paul and I have been sharing the one truck for the building official. And he is on call, the assistant is on call all the time, so he does take that vehicle home. So he's off a day, we don't have a vehicle, I have to go try and find one from another department. So really, at minimum, two vehicles for the department. Realistically, it would be nice to see three, but I understand there are constraints for that. But I'm hoping that with the increase in revenue that we can get, with the extra workload and focus on housing, with our blight officer maybe taking a full time role, it could possibly be a good thing for the town. Having people being able to get to an emergency or somewhere they need to go, instead of having to wait on another department to give them a car. The F-150 we do have is 14 years old, And I do see that not necessarily becoming an issue, but needing to get replaced. As we all know, you know, the building department could probably get 20 years out of a vehicle. If it's a good vehicle, if it's brand new, that's probably going to be roughly my tenure. Is a hoping plan to be here for 20 years. So getting one car and drive it till the end of the time I'm here, then don't worry about it in 20 years. Let's see. So that brings me to goals. Kind of a wrap up of everything. Wanted to adjust the fee structure to be a little bit more simple. Flat rate of $20,000. One of the things I didn't mention, but our permitting software is a little cumbersome and tends to be a little confusing to a lot of people who would like to get a permit. They have to come down to our office and have us walk them through it. Everybody really doesn't have a problem with email. Everybody kind of understands email pretty well. You got it on your phone, you got it on a computer at home. The permitting software itself asks a lot of the people to do from home without really knowing. If you don't do this job every day, it's really hard to kind of understand what we're getting at. So I wanted to explore different permitting software options. There's a lot of options out there that are no cost to the town, and they may just charge per permit. So it may be like an extra couple dollars per permit, but that would go directly from the person applying for the permit. It would not come from the town or our budget or anything else like that. So I would like to find something that's very simple, a lot more like an iOS type platform where it's point and click. You see, I want this, I need this, and then it just brings you to the next step and everything's automated. There's a lot of software out there, and City Square and Municity are not the answers to either of those problems. I will be exploring that. I don't really have anything for you right at the moment, but I would like to be able to present that in the future and maybe find something that's very easy for everybody involved. I would like to adopt the 2012 International Property Maintenance Code, which we went over. Continue training with Paul, my assistant, Demetra, the admin, get a PTAC training, and myself. I'm in my mid-40s, and I don't know hardly anything about being a building official, so it would be really good for me to keep getting trained and learning more and more as I possibly can. And then continue to improve the customer service by shortening permit application response times, providing comprehensive and easily understood feedback. We propose to do this with graphic images, checklists, and publications that help explain the code requirements. For instance, we now regularly distribute a comprehensive deck design and construction guide published by the American Wood Council. This is just basic stuff that most framers and everybody kind of understand, but for homeowners, it's a good thing for them to actually get something in writing that says, oh, I need to do this A, B, C, and I can build this deck. Typically things that people come in for permits. Permits for to do work on their own home, we try to provide you with some type of literature to at least go home with and be a little bit more informed and helpful. That is all I have for the annual report. The other question that Lenny asked me to bring was kind of our light success stories. Anybody who's kind of driven around the town has noticed there may be some properties that are either blighted or there's a lot of stuff in their yard, or you know, houses might be boarded up and they got tarps on the roof and everything else. There's a lot of complaints that come in about this to our department, and Melissa, our blight enforcement officer, she is the one person that handles all this stuff, and she really just comes to me for kind of my opinions on how to handle things. But she's extremely capable of doing all this stuff on her own. There's just not enough time in her 19 and a half hour week to really handle all the issues that we have here. She has, there's a big list of success stories right here. 435 Raymond Hill, property was in blight for years. It was in a blight lien and then it was sold. Fees were collected and the property is now set to be demolished and taken care of. This was a property for a very long time that had blight issues and complaints constantly. We're still getting complaints about it, but it is being worked on and actively will be demolished, I think, sometime in the near future. 15 Beach, all the way out on Oxaboxa. It was a property that I noticed the first time driving by before I even worked for the town, that it kind of looked odd in and around the pond up there. That structure had a fire a few years ago, and the yard is full of all sorts of vehicles and trash, and there still is some remaining blight out there, but the town actually moved forward with demolition last month. The whole area was made safe after the house was demolished, and I know that was a big question for a very long time. And Melissa really was at the forefront of that, and she's still working on getting all of that, the other stuff that was collected over the years. It is slowly being moved out, and I'm hoping to get everything done by this fall before the snow falls. So it should be all nice and clean. The property will more than likely be up for sale. There's lots of pending liens and everything on that, so you know the town would definitely benefit from that as well. Let's see, 45 Lynch Hill. There's three RV full of debris, as well as a mobile home that need to be condemned. I'm not sure that one was actually ever lived in. It looks like it was ready to roll, but it's hard to can't really condemn RVs. The only thing that we're able to condemn, and as a building official, it has to be a structure. It can't be RVs are governed by DMV. So anytime there's like vehicles or anything else that's on somebody's property, if it's not registered, it can possibly get pushed off to somewhere else, but if it's not an actual structure being built on the property, it does not fall under any of our guidance. Property maintenance code, however, would be able to help out with a lot of this stuff that is either considered blight or is in that gray area where, okay, it's not blight, it's not a zoning issue, it's not a building issue. Where does this fall? And it's very simply found in that little tiny book that tells you to keep your property clean and, from being infested with rats or debris or anything else like that. So there's a huge list of properties here. They all kind of say the same thing. It was an absolute mess. Melissa got involved, put a lien on the property. Most of them are either paid, negotiated, or taken care of in a way where life and safety is no longer an issue. The town ends up the better for it, because most important thing with blight is that the property gets cleaned up. It's not about going after people for money. It's about making sure that everybody in town is okay with driving by it and not having a problem, and that it's safe for everybody. So those are our two goals for all that. So the money just comes. It's usually more or less as a as an effort of trying to get someone to do something that we've asked for them for a very long time to take care of on their own. And if they don't, it's usually something that Melissa has to deal with over and over and over again. She has lots and lots of success stories. She's been phenomenal to work with. I've dealt with four other blight and housing officers from Norwich. That's typically how fast you go through them. In a four-year stint, I had four different blight and housing officers over there. Because they get burnt out. Melissa doesn't get burnt out. She really does work her butt off every day. And she'll call me even when she's not on being paid, and she'll ask me about someone because someone called her, and you know, or she got an email that she wanted to ask me about, and she really does take a lot off of my plate that I just would not be able to handle without a light enforcement officer. So kudos to her, and I hope I didn't go on too long. Or
well, you did, but it was really good, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I think it's important to point out that with Mark coming on board and with Demetra, administrative assistant, and with Paul Curry, I get a lot of compliments now about what's going on in the building department. And with Melissa Richards there, you can read the report. It's $57,000 that we've got set aside now because of her efforts. And she's got 618 abated and 326 that are active, and 6 are pending. Every day, more come in. And people, the common denominator is the people that own the property don't want to do anything with it. So we're doing the best we can in the bad situation.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Mayor, got some more questions?
I sure do. Finance Director Julie?
I want to say thank you for sending it out, and I was there for the meeting. That's why I asked to send it out, because I think it fully explains not only the process, electronic timekeeping, but also the flexibility and everything. So, and I hope everyone paid attention to that, because it is going to be a really good tool. To put that in perspective, the person that takes the time cards, she receives around 220 green pieces of paper, half the size of a piece of paper, with handwritten time on it that she has to physically put into a computer, and she has to do that 220 times every Monday. And I think we can do better than that. So hopefully, thank you for doing that. And I, if you have more to say, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I didn't have anything else to say.
I got one question, Julie, if I may.
Sure.
The $16,138 annual fee, what does that include that we'll be paying every year for this program?
That'd be the annual software maintenance fee. We have that for all the different modules in UNIS, so that just covers daily backups, yearly maintenance, help desk support, things like that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We'll be discussing it a little bit more when we get to that. So.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks, Julie.
Police Department, Lieutenant Radford.
How about it was on mute?
Yay!
It was on mute. Okay. Dave Radford, Lieutenant Moffitt Police. Just want to quick update of the ACO facility. We've been in there about a month and a half now. We're starting to settle in. Notice some little things that we need to adjust. Some oversights, some things that nobody thought of. We've got to change. One of the big things we got is we've got a notification button on the outside of the building that you push to if nobody's in the building, and it rings directly to dispatch. Well, most of the time, somebody's in the building. So we just got to add some sort of a doorbell feature that when they're in the back with the kennels and barking dogs, they have a light or a sound that they know somebody's at the front door. Little things like that. Everything else is going well. We currently have 9 dogs in the facility. We're actually very busy right now. The generator, we're waiting for that to come in. We don't have an ETA yet, but it's anticipated soon. We did have one incident. We needed it with those storms we just had recently. But the WPCA's generator worked great. We got it connected up and running, and it ran the facility really well. Other than that, I just wanted to mention that our newest recruit, Jack Perkins, officially started the academy today. So he's off and running, and we look forward to getting him on the road in the future. Other than that, unless anybody has any questions, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lieutenant. John Carlson, Public Works.
Good evening, John Carlson, Public Works Director. So the community center bathrooms are moving along. They had some termite damage they worked on. They're continuing on the walls to get that done. Most of the plumbing is done. They are going to change a valve down in the basement that was bad. They could not even turn with a pipe wrench. So we need that to be working so that if we ever did have a catastrophic failure in a pipe, we can shut the water off. The fishing pier docks, the docks are open. They're working their butts off to get the railings up at the fishing pier. That's a little bit of a slow process, but they've had a few delays with the rain and weather and stuff to slow them down. We're working on the large pavilion improvements to do the drainage up there. We still have a few other things that I'm trying to get to the Parks and Rec Commission to take a peek at and seeing if they're okay with what we're going to do up there. Pickleball tennis courts, we're out to bid August 12th. We're out to bid. They'll be opened August 12th. At this, I don't know the exact time, probably 10 o'clock. That's usually what we set it for. The Camp Oakdale parking lot, where the soccer field and football are, we're currently working on that plan. We know what we're going to do, but part of the problem is that facility is used so much. The only way really to pave that, because you're going to have to close it for probably close to a month, is to do it in July of 2027, June and July of 2027, because football starts in August. So otherwise, you're going to disturb all the sports that are up there if you try and do it in the fall or the spring. So that's kind of our goal right now, unless we get direction to do something different. But we're hoping to have it done July 27. So it'll go out probably sometime in December or January of 2026 or January, I mean, December of 2026 or January of 2027. Maple Avenue's bid opening is July 22nd, which is next, I think it's next Wednesday at 10 a.m. The Maple Avenue lawn, we're only waiting on the last section of the lumen seed. It's been a kind of terrible growing season, so we're working with the contractor to possibly come back in and redo some of the yards in the fall. So hopefully that'll happen. Butlertown Road, the trees have been removed. They've done some side grading. They did stop for a little bit. I think the storm kind of messed everybody up. I know it did for us. We're still cleaning trees on July 4 storm. Basically, a small section of town got hit pretty hard, just all over the place. There goes the budget. Mother Nature has decided to throw a little monkey wrench at us. But other than that, I mean, things are moving forward. We're making progress. Any questions or comments?
Jump in the fishing pier. I noticed I haven't actually got to use the boat launch yet, but I noticed somebody online saying that they felt that it's not per plan, the slope of the ramp. And is that something we could check to make sure? Because it does seem a little flat compared to other ramps. And I'm wondering if you could just check the plans and make sure they installed it, that it's got the correct amount.
I think part of the problem you would have run into is you'd almost have to dredge that section and then it would fill in with silt. We stuck with what was the original grade from what I
heard. The purpose of that whole boat launch is to make that a 24/7 boat launch. That was the whole thing in the beginning. So That's so that the WPCA have access to go to that and the police and fire. And it, before it wasn't a 24/7 vote because of a title. So we just make sure that it's per plan. That,
yep.
Because yeah. if it's not, the reason why is it if you have to back a truck all the way up until the bed's half full to get the boat in, that's not good. So if you if somebody was just on Facebook, so I don't know if the legitimate if you just take a look at the plan and make sure it was done per plan with the,
yep.
the right slope, because it should be around 8%.
Yep.
And so
okay.
You know, and well,
correct me if I'm wrong, John, but isn't that done by deep specs?
The boat launch?
Boat launch.
No, that was done by Public Works.
No, the
by specs. Deep specs, correct. Yeah, right. Yes. Yes.
Done deep specs.
Yes.
All right.
Well, so
verify it, make sure it's done. I think Councilor Baker, you had a
Yeah, actually I saw that same concern on Facebook and it seemed to be more time of a different tide. At low tide seemed to be where the problem was. It seemed to be that was it. But
24/7.
Well, you can't control the tide, and when people are launching boats, I don't know how we're going to do that. But the other part of it is too was dredging part of that, or no, that plan.
No, none of there was no plan to dredge. You know,
okay,
because so the channel's pretty far out.
Yeah.
Where you have to be for the okay. channel.
I mean, we're kind of stuck with what we have there below water.
Correct.
And tidal, basically low tide, high tide, we can't, there's nothing we can really do to control that.
Right.
I mean, that's Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at most of the state boat ramps, when you go out there, their land is much higher than the actual water, how it, and they're on mostly bigger, wider rivers, but I don't know much about it.
To check and see if
yeah.
it's per plan.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. It just seems
yeah.
that we got all this effort, and that was the focus, was because before it was not a 24/7 boat.
It was always a 24/7, as far as I was concerned.
As far as tides, when it's
24/7, right.
low tide, you should be able to launch a boat and not be tidal dependent when you can use the boat launch. So when you
yeah.
24/7, it means that you can go at any tidal cycle and launch a boat. That was the purpose of it. That was the reason why we pushed that.
So yes.
If we didn't do that, I'm hoping we did, then we failed on the first attempt of why we were doing the boat launch. So
it seemed like the people that were having the issues were like 20-foot boats too, which I don't think that would be like our police department and stuff.
Yeah, that's about what most of those boats are, 20-foot.
So I'd just like to point out that it is a new moon, so it's super, super low tide.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot lower than a normal low tide.
I'm just asking to check to see if the angle
yeah,
right. matches the plan.
I see boats like cars and trucks. They're all different sizes, heights, and whatever. So if you come in with a big, pretty good-sized boat, you know, you kind of sit lower in the water. You know, most of the boats I see down there are just guys with little fishing boats, 16 to 20 foot fishing boats. You know, if you come in with a cabin cruiser,
yeah.
of course you're going to sit a lot lower in the water. So I'm not sure what people are looking, you know. So everything's a challenge when you think about boats or cars or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, but I will look into it. I will make sure that CLA checks into it and make sure that they're set the way they're supposed to.
We are, we're good then.
Circling back to the Camp Oakdale parking lot, we got funding from a grant on that, didn't we?
Correct.
$1.1 million, I believe it was?
Yes.
All right.
So.
Okay. So that's not coming out of our pockets, which is a good thing.
No.
Perfect. Thank you.
We've also got the dredging or the drainage that we need to do at Camp Oakdale Pavilion.
Right, the large pavilion, we're working on that, yeah.
That's going out to bid?
That's soon.
Yeah.
He's working on the final design for that to try to incorporate some other part of the project, which would be accessibility to the bathrooms.
Right.
So, for handicap and stuff like that, so.
All right.
All right.
All set.
Good.
Thank you, John.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
So I continue to attend as many meetings or committees and commissions as I can, including the opening day for the farmers market. On the 11th of June, we were visited by Governor Lamont, and we gave him a tour of the animal control facility. On the 13th, we had the grand opening of the animal control facility, and I want to take this time to thank Lieutenant Radford for the effort and the successful grand opening, the ceremony. He did a great job, put together a good agenda, and everyone was proud of what we did. Good job. On the 17th, we had Montville High School graduation I attended, and the 18th, we had Tile Middle School I attended. On the 26th, Bill O'Neill, the IT with 20 years, he retired, and we're now in the process of interviewing applicants. We have multiple applicants, and we were able to make an offer to one to start on August 3rd, and I'll make that news at another time. June and July saw multiple events that was created by the committee for the America's 250th anniversary. And I want to thank the committee members, Elaine Hess, Andrea Perosa, and Michelle Westcamper, for the work they did in putting the different events together, like the ringing of the bell and the Declaration of Independence reading here at the town hall. Although it wasn't well attended, it certainly was a lot of work, and I thought it went very well. We had a couple of events at the library where Ethan, Stephanie, did different presentations on the life of the colonial times during the Revolutionary War. They did a great job. We're beginning to interview the replacement for the assessor clerk. We have several applicants for that, and we're moving forward.
Well, I attended the reading of the Declaration of Independence and the plaque that we put beside the road.
The unveiling of General Lafayette's
tour.
Yeah,
losing my mind. Those are all really good, and those people put it on. Elaine and what was her name? The
Andrea. Andrea Perosa and Michelle Westcamper.
They did a really good job.
They did.
Any questions for the mayor? All right.
Oh, I just want to point out also that because of that effort, we got a $700 grant from the state to pay for some of these banners and everything else we had put up.
Good job.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. All right. Good job. All right. Where are we? Reports from standing committees, town administration rules and procedures.
On the agenda.
All right. Finance, no meeting, but we had a report from our finance director. Public waste, solid waste disposal.
John covered everything that I had from that meeting, so I'm good.
I'm good. Reports from special committees and liaisons, counselors. Councilor Baker, public safety.
Yeah, the Public Safety Commission did meet on June 22nd, 2026. However, due to a lack of quorum, they were unable to conduct any business. There was positive correspondence read for Officer Byron Mora. One of our cruisers, unfortunately, had a mishap with a deer, and the officer was uninjured. The deer was not so lucky, though. Deep is patrolling Gardner Lake this year, and the month of June 2026 emergency services statistics are as follows. The fire department responded to 292 calls for service, which was an average of 9.73 calls per day. And the police department was 1,039 calls for service with an average of 34.63 calls per day. That's it.
Thank you.
Councilor
Karen is not here, so no report unless the mayor has something on Commission on Aging, Nonprofits, and Social Services.
No.
Councilor Jaskiewicz, Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, the Planning and Zoning meeting on June 23rd. We had an approval of a revision of multiple sections of the town's zoning regulations to comply with the terms of Public Act 25-1 of the state legislature. An 8-24 review was conducted for a USDA grant application for a planning study for the Meadows Apartments located at Leffingwell Road. An 8-24 review was conducted for the redevelopment and future sale of a portion of 911 Route 32. There were three additional items which were not ready to be heard by the commission at this meeting will be held on the upcoming agenda. A zoning report was provided 46 new zoning regulations were issued, 25 zoning permits were closed. The planning director gave an extensive update on matters which has been working on to include the plan of conservation and development, TIF update, CIF grant round 9 submission was completed on June 5th, and the DECD Grayfield Opportunity Grant for 350 Route 32. And the next meeting is July 28th, excuse me, at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Councilor Novak, Economic Development and Firefighters Relief Fund.
Okay, Economic Development. Dennis has been keeping us updated on everything for the EDC, so I don't think I can really speak to that. He's doing a great job. We meet again on July 20th. Actually, I think that meeting was canceled, right, Dennis? Okay, so that meeting is canceled for July 20th. And the Firefighter Relief, we meet on July 27th for our quarterly meeting. Thank you.
Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission, Water Pollution Control Authority, Youth Service Bureau, and Advisory Board.
Conservation Commission did not meet. They were actually at the farmer's market instead. They had a booth there. They're kind of advertising some of the trails around town and just chatting with people from the public. So thank you to the Conservation Commission for all they do. WPCA, we did not meet. They did have an issue with the main influent pump breaking, so that's going to be needing replacing, looking at over $50,000. So just if you're ever wondering, you know, why taxes go up and things like that, it's the cost of things are crazy. So we'll be dealing with that. They're currently dealing with it. So for youth, they wanted me to mention the mobile health van. That's second and fourth Wednesday each month, 11 to 1 at Mohegan Fire. They do a bunch of different things. It's all for free. They do testing. They do vaccinations. They do syringe services, things like that. We have National Night Out. That's going to be August 4th. That's Tuesday. It's from 5 to 8:45 p.m. I believe that's when the fireworks got moved to as well. So
what's the date?
It's August 4th. It's a Tuesday. It's from 5 to 8:45. It's always a good time with the police, and the youth is heavily involved with that too. So make sure you go come out that night. Their summer program is completely full. They have 35 slots. That plus they keep two open for DCF. Kids in our community. So they have 37 youth. They're going on trips and having a great summer. So last thing is they just want you to make sure you check on your friends this summer. So make sure you're good, bro. Give them a call. Make sure everyone's all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appointments, resignations, none. Unfinished business, none. Item 16, new business.
Tim, Mr. Chairman,
I didn't I did this me. Again. Councilor Southern, I'm so sorry. Board of Education, I just want to get through this. We're only on page 2. Councilor Southern, Board of Education, Farmers Market, Library Committee, Parks and Recreation.
Okay, Board of Education, we had no meeting. In Library, there was no meeting. Farmers Market opened last weekend, celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States, and it was actually well attended, although there was so much rain. We have kids' night tomorrow, car cruise on the 21st, and the 28th is Christmas in July. Parks and Recreation was covered quite a bit by John Carlson. I just want to mention that we did have the carnival, and everything seemed to go well. We made just as much profit on the carnival as we have in the past, even though the hours were decreased. And camp has started. The first 2 weeks of camp was outdoors at Camp Oakdale. They've now moved over to Murphy School. They love being at Camp Oakdale. They said it was great. Honestly, one person said they would have preferred to stay there the whole time, so the kids had a ball there. Peter also submitted the round 9 of the SIF grant for $2.66 million. Feedback is expected in October. And that's it.
Mr. Chairman, I did not ask as for my reports the land use director to come up because his items are on the agenda. Dennis, did you have anything other than what's on the agenda? Okay.
Good job, Joe.
You go.
What a team, Dan.
Well, I will say that the land use department is probably the busiest I've ever seen.
Yes,
in this town.
My years, sure. Too.
Amazing. All right, item 16A, the town of Montville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $2,148.94 as requested by the tax collector.
I'm sorry, so move.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
Councilor Jaskowitz.
Favor.
Councilor Novak.
Favor.
Councilor Spelian.
Favor.
Councilor Sellers.
Favor.
Councilor Mayne.
Favor. So that's 6-0 in favor. Item 16B, the town of Montville hereby resolves to accept the warranty deed for open space to be conveyed to the town of Montville for 47 Sharp Hill Road as requested per Planning and Zoning Commission application number 25SUB7 and 25SP1 approved on November 18th, 2025 in accordance with a plan entitled Resubdivision 23 Lot Residential Resubdivision 47 Sharp Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut 06382, prepared for MK Kenno Builders, not pronouncing that right, LLC, dated July 10th, 2025, revised March 31st, 2026.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? Just out of curiosity, how much open space is it? How big of a parcel? 8 acres. Is it accessible by the public, or is it just going to be the walking trail? Who will maintain that after it's
the town?
The town? So Conservation Commission would take charge of that?
I don't believe. I don't know the details. I'm not actually who, whether it be DPW or Conservation. But
whichever, if it's town open space, it'd be the Conservation Commission.
Yeah.
So make sure we get a referral to them to let them know that 8-point-something acres is coming at them. Any other questions on this?
No.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
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 Favor. So that's 6-0 in favor. Item C. I'm just going to read the resolution part, and the rest of this, it will be on the record at the town clerk's office. The town of Montville hereby resolves to join the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority, the CMDA, as a member municipality in whose function and purpose is outlined below, and authorizes Mayor Leonard Bunnell to take and cause to be taken such action, including but not limited to the negotiation and execution of any memorandum of agreement on behalf of the town of Montville with the CMDA and any other agreements, instruments, and documents that such an official deems necessary, appropriate, or desirable to implement the terms of any such memorandum of agreement and consummate the intention of this and the resolution.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. Item 16D. The town of Montville hereby resolves to consider an act on a motion to introduce and set forth the date for a public hearing for an ordinance titled An Ordinance to Amend Ordinance Number 2017-01. Ordinance regarding land use application processing fees on August 10th, 2026 at 6:45 p.m. The public hearing will be held at the Montville Town Hall and in the Town Council chambers.
No move.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is
fees.
If I can just say that it's just the fees. Actual ordinance is 2017-01, and the only changes is going to be is to the fees, and that's in your packet.
Okay. Did I say something, read something wrong?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right.
Making sure.
Any more quick discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor
Jaskowitz? Favor.
Councilor Novak?
Favor.
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 Councilor Mayne.
Favor. So 6-0 in favor. Item 16E. The town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard Bunnell to make application for a State of Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development Grayfield Revitalization Program grant in the amount of $222,500 to fund the existing conditions assessment associated with 350 Route 32, which includes but is not limited to site surveys, building condition assessments, appraisals, cost estimating, environmental materials evaluation, and intersection studies, and is directed to execute and file such application with the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development to provide such additional information to execute such other documents as may be required to execute an assistance agreement with the State of Connecticut for state financial assistance, if such an agreement is offered, to execute any amendments, decisions, and revisions thereto, and to act as the authorized representative.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
I don't know if you wanted to say something about it.
No, I just wanted to point out that the location is, this is called a gray field as opposed to the brown field. And it's just to get an assessment of that building, which is really uninhabitable or unusable in the condition that it's in, and what our options are. Dennis?
If I could just add a note on that, too. The housing bill that at the federal level that just became law recently also has opportunities in there for grayfields, although I think they specifically call that infill development. So it is something that has been gaining traction, even though in the planning term, grayfield, brownfields, and greenfields have been very common terms, but I think at the policy level. And this also complements what we'll talk about later is TIF, as well as the services and opportunities that will come out of the CMDA membership and establishing criteria and possible funding as well. So
it's just another example of the land use department moving forward and taking on a lot of new projects.
Well, you guys stay busy. All right. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. Item 16F, the town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard Bunnell to make application for a United States Department of Agricultural USDA water and waste disposal pre-development planning grant in the amount of $60,000, which said grant requires a match of $20,000, which shall be paid by the owner of 90 and 91 Leffingwell Road for a total project cost of $80,000. To fund the preliminary engineering review of 90 and 91 Leffingwell Road for on-site sanitary feasibility study and associated sanitary force main, and conduct planning studies to understand capacity and expansion. Excuse me, just a second. Of the Watertown's water pollution control facility. Mayor Bunnell is directed to execute and file such application with the USDA to provide such additional information to execute such other documents as may be required to execute agreements with the USDA and to execute any amendments, decisions, and revisions thereto, and to act as the authorized representative.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Dennis. And these numbers that are in here, the 60,000, 20,000 total difference is different than one of the memos that you issued on July 8th in 2026, which was 65,000, 21,666, which for a total of 86,666.
The resolution is correct. It's the 60,000 is the maximum grant amount that the USDA will allow. I thought it was 65 when I drafted that memo. So last, I think, Thursday or Friday when we made that editorial change.
Yeah, he sent me an email letting me know.
Resolution.
But we were still doing the
No, I just want to make sure that I understand what it was. And this is also, part of this is also going to be to look at the future expansion for WPCA.
That is correct.
And whether we have capacity or not to handle everything that we're looking to do in town here.
That is correct, and the mayor and I, and the mayor also talked with Ron McDaniel about issuing an RFP to get services to do all of this work. That includes the feasibility of the Meadows apartments on site and confirming that there is no opportunity for addressing the sanitary issues that they have there, as well as any force main expansion. And this came up during the 824 review, which was a favorable review by the Planning and Zoning Commission. The commission made a point of asking the question of whether or not they would entertain, they being Meadows apartments, would entertain deed restricting some of those units to help with us meeting our set-aside requirements. That is going to be part of this discussion. And since then, I've talked with Mr. St. Germain about also studying the possibility to infill some of that green space with more housing that might be affordable, as well as upgrading the facilities that exist currently, because they're aging from 1967. This would be a substantial investment of time on our part, and if the USDA would grant the funds to construct it a substantial amount, we should look to get the best return on the investment.
Yeah. It kind of goes without saying, but the town of Montville and every town in Connecticut has to provide a certain percentage or striving toward a certain percentage of affordable housing. And I think we're at like 5%.
We're around, 4.5%, I think it is. I'm around 4.5%. Yeah, 5%. So we have to be 10%.
Yeah, we need to be 10%. So we need to get there at some point.
And if I could just to expand a little bit on this, too, it's related to our housing plan that we're going to be working on, which we received that grant from the Department of Housing. If this finds and identifies some potential expansion for the plant, which could accommodate more units on the site as well as other locations, it also then under CMDA, it might also open up our opportunities for funding through CMDA for that expansion or through some of the zoning work and POCD work in the housing plan work that our consultants Goldman New York have just commenced on last week. So. Sure. They're all interrelated.
I just wanted to point that out because I don't think the public really realizes that we don't have enough affordable housing in this town, and we're required to provide it there to make sure.
State mandated.
And on top of the 10%, the state next March, we're told, supposedly next March, the state will be providing us with specific numbers that we have to meet under our housing plan as well. So. Yeah.
Dennis, may I ask the 4.5% that we do have, how many units is that?
Well,
I don't have that handy. I can tell you that majority of them are achieved through mortgages or because of funding that is received by CHAFA or other housing. Mm-hmm. There is zero deed restricted units. So we could very easily, once mortgages start getting paid off or are released in any fashion because of a sale, they move on, and that number can very easily go down. It quickly went up because of Oxo Boxo lofts opening in the past 12 to 18 months, because I think that kicked us up about a percent or so.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's move the motion. Resolution. So, any more questions? Let's do a roll call, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's a 6-0 in favor.
Thank you, Dennis.
Item 16G, the town of Montville hereby resolve to approve wages for part-time employees to become effective upon July 1st, 2026, as indicated in Schedule A.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
Nope. Makes sense.
All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. Item 16H. The town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize the use of up to $42,798 from account 10480-52164, contingency for the purchase and implementation of time and attendance.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? I think we've all been briefed on this, and Julie discussed it earlier. So roll call vote, please.
Counselor
Baker? Favor.
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 Favor. So 6-0 in favor. Adding, move on to items 16I, and I'll read it. The town of Montbell hereby resolves, pursuant to Connecticut State General Statutes, Section 7-339EE and FF, to refer the following draft tax increment financing district documents to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review and report. Draft TIF district policy dated July 13th, 2026. Draft Town Center TIF district master plan dated July 13th, 2026. And draft Gateway North TIF district master plan dated July 13th, 2026.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I understand that after talking to quite a few individuals, this is quite a complex plan, a lot of information involved in it. So if I may, I would just like to suggest that this is going to be, there's going to be quite a bit of, I'm sure, question and answers and discussions on it when we finally come to decide which direction we're going to go and how we're going to implement it. So I would like to see this come to a special meeting of the council.
Well, no,
so we've got time to sit and discuss it.
We're only the only thing where it's on this, what this motion does, mm-hmm. is refer it to planning and zoning.
No, I realize that.
When it comes back to us, we can.
Yes, that's my point. Is when it finally, when their recommendation comes back to us, I think we need to have a special meeting. So that is the only item on the agenda that night.
I would urge every counselor to attend a planning and zoning meeting to get a better understanding of what's going on.
I was
going to
suggest that. Plus, we've seen snippets of this before mm-hmm. in Dennis's presentation. He's given mm-hmm. twice. Mm-hmm. Also, the people we hired to do the they were developing in the different areas. Mm-hmm. That's how they got these outlined. Mm-hmm. And so it really comes down to, and the planning and zoning should be, we'll be discussing, is the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. And I asked Dennis, that I want to see goals. Like, mm-hmm. what is the goal we're trying to achieve with this tool? Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're going with that. So,
I mean,
I think we should be attending the planning and zoning mm-hmm. meetings because they're going to get into that. Is that correct, Dennis?
I think, I mean, you're certainly always welcome to attend a planning and zoning meeting. You know, I think there's also some work that, myself and finance and our assessor's office need to do right now. We are just brushing the dust off of this. Well, not just, but we started brushing the dust off of this, you know, over the last couple of weeks from when we initially talked about it. And we're going to be continuing to meet on it as well. And the town center TIF district, and it should be in your package, that limit has been refined and tightened up from what was before, a little bit more of a larger area. It's more of the corridor of Route 32. So I think there's still some more work here, but there is a lot of nuances to it and opportunities and benefits. And our consultant, Don Poland from Goman and York, would be present to discuss this with you. It could be a lengthy discussion with you, so maybe a special meeting is warranted. I mean, the referral, if I just want a little bit on process, the referral to planning and zoning has to happen 90 days prior to the council making a decision. So there's a long lead time, so we're referring it now, so there's enough time to go back and forth. We can start a little bit more with the planning and zoning, come back to you, go back to planning and zoning. There can be some of that dialogue working with staff over that period of time. And then the intent would probably be sometime in October, or I think October 14th is the first time that after that 90 day that you could, you know, have a hearing. Well, you could have a hearing before that, but that you couldn't vote until that 90 day is up.
And also, just to reiterate, this needs to be done this calendar year. So that's the other thing we're trying to achieve. So somewhere between October 14th and December 31st, we really should be voting this in or approving it or not. Mm-hmm. But I'm just letting you know that's the scope. Right. So, all right.
Well, the other thing, too, is that I'm kind of interested in myself. I know there's other municipalities in Connecticut that do have this system. Yep. I kind of would like to get a little bit of a gauge from them, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. If they had to do it again, what would they do different? You know, I mean, this is something new for us. So, I mean, all these people have had the opportunity to use it, to play with it, to exercise it. So,
well, we need to set up a goal. We got to have say.
I mean, it's something that I think we need to know.
Yeah, but we need to set up a goal so we could, because their goals may be different than our goals. So we need to look at it. This is a tool to do something for economic development. So we need it further defined to us so we can settle on these goals, you know. And one thing that we got to remember, you know, the town council is only in session 2 years, and then so you could have a totally different people over the next years, and we got to have something that they can see that progression. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we're trying to look at to see if we implement this. They're not going to happen overnight. These are going to be long-term type thing. So any other discussion?
No.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor
Baker. Favor.
Councilor
Beckford. Favor.
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 So it's 6-0 in favor. Agnes, just so you know, you were on that email that I read the resolution from. I just want to make sure you have it. All right. Remarks for the public with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. And I'll go one more time. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the councilors and the mayor. I'll start down there. Mayor, I'll let you go first this time.
I just want to say that this building maintenance code they're talking about is, look at some of the buildings that we have in this town.
Right.
And without the code, one of them, Mountview Apartments, was the premier apartment complex when it was built. And now we got other ones coming in. We want to make sure we're able to take care of them.
I'll just say that there was a fire in Groton. It displaced about 35 people, big fire. And that apartment was built in 2000. And I saw that when I looked at it, I could tell there was no very little firewalls. And so we need that for safety.
Yes, absolutely.
People live in somebody could be living in an apartment that they don't know is dangerous.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree.
They could be in there. And Councilor
Southern. 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 Southern.
Thank you. I just want to say welcome to Mark. We're glad to have you. Thank you for your report. That was really great. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. And I hope to see everybody at the farmers market over the next few weeks.
I'll be there.
And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark,
welcome. Jaskowitz.
Great report. I really mean it. Very, very effective for us. The Council of Planning and Zoning has got a lot going on.
Oh, I mean, they do.
They really do. Dennis is doing one heck of a job.
Land use department.
We got a lot of things coming, changing, and we got to just really get a grip on it. Same with me, because me going to the meetings, that's why I depend on our partner over there. That they give me the notes for the meeting, but we got a lot, and it's all in our favor. That's the key thing. Everything Dennis is working on is helping us to move forward. Thank you.
Just echo what Kate said. Welcome, Mark. I liked the report. It was great. It's nice that we have an active building department now, and I think it's going to be huge for us. It's great. Go to the farmers market. We also have the summer concert. Branded is playing at the large pavilion on Thursday. That's from 6 to 8. And then, like I said, August 4th is National Night Out. That's the Fair Oaks Community Center, 5 to 8:45. And that's it.
Hunter Baker.
Yeah. And again, to echo, welcome to the team, Mark. Great having you. I know you're going to do a bang-up job just like Dennis has done for us in planning and zoning. Also, I would like to thank all of our public safety responders and the Department of Public Works for all they did during this recent storm on July 4th. We had more damage to this town than I've seen in hurricanes. Mm-hmm. And it happened just like that. So I know we were, where I live, we were out of power for almost 39 hours. So lucky I had a generator and
that's
we were good to go.
That's why you didn't call me, huh?
Yeah. So the bottom line is, though, I know from where I came from in my past what it takes when something like this happens, you know. And you guys, public safety, police, fire, and public works, you guys, your back was up against the wall and you made it happen. You got these roads open and passable. You took care of everything that wasn't wrapped up in power wires. We got traffic moving. We got emergency equipment so they could get to where they had to go. And just from the bottom of my heart, just thank you for everything you guys did that day, or those few days, actually. And I know you're still dealing with it, but thank you so much for everything you did. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you all for coming tonight. I echo what Brian said. And again, just like all the snowstorms, we had that storm on a holiday and the weekend. So kudos to Public Works for all that hard work. And Mark, welcome to the team. Look forward to working with you. And hope everybody had a nice holiday despite the storm.
Councilor Sebelia has a...
I just want to remind everyone, next Monday is also a public hearing, 6 p.m. on the road discontinuance of PTA Lane. So there's a lot of misinformation going on Facebook already. They're saying planning and zoning didn't give a favorable review, which is untrue. So just come to the public hearing next Monday and have a better understanding of what's actually being proposed. And then you'll have a better, you know, you'll realize that the police support it, the school supports it, Public Works supports it. It's going to add to our tax base. It's going to be, you'll learn more about it. We're still hearing things about it too. So I'm kind of looking forward to what the developer says. And I think it's just important to realize and that you need to get the information from the correct source and not Facebook. So that's all.
Thank you. So I just want to say that, you know, there's a lot of remarkable things that our land use department's doing, and the mayor and this town council, whenever we got out there and we started talking to people during our election, everyone on this dais said, we're looking for economic development and we're trying to make Montville better. Every one of us. And that has nothing to do with party affiliation. And I look now as we have things coming to our town that are going to be advantageous to economic development and helping the tax base and helping things out. As Councilor Sebelia said, these all went through all the wickets for this discontinuance of PTA Lane. It went through a very thorough planning and zoning to do the 824 review. And the only thing that I say is this has been in the public eye in full, you know, all the meetings since November of last year. And I just want to make sure people realize that it's not done in a vacuum. There are public records that show what we're doing or what they've been doing. And now it's a time for us to present it to the public. There will be a public vote on this. I believe it'll be on the 29th, but we'll firm that up with a more accurate date. But I will say that people talk to me all the time about why don't we do this or why don't we do that or why doesn't the town do this? Well, we're doing it. And we've asked the land use department, we've asked the police department, we've asked everything, and look at all we've done with the new animal control facility, the new town dock, and the new town fishing pier, and the pickleball courts, and everything we're doing. We're doing this for the citizens of Montville. So I just want to say thank you, everyone, because you're doing what you were elected to do. And with that, I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor? Nail it home. Something that we did.